Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Let's give God a praise, a hand praise. And come on. Very quickly, I'm not as bashful as Pastor Austin thinks. I do have a few things I should have announced this morning, but I did not. Just a couple of things that we brought with us from Los Angeles. I did a series. In fact, I did one called Evidence, which is about faith, that we'll be talking about some of the themes this week. I did another series called Balanced Living. How many know that many of us, not intentionally, but we live out of balance? Either too much work or too much leisure. Sometimes we don't understand the balance of, you ought to have a healthy church life and spending time with church people, but you also go to the beach sometime and take your shoes off, right? And so we talked about balanced living, we talked about grace and truth, we talked about work life and home life. Then I did a series called Speak Life. And this series is about our tongues. How many know that most of the issues that we find in our lives are related to what we say? Is there a witness out there? And so we talked about talking and the things that we say, the things that we should say, what we shouldn't say. There's a sermon in here called The Time When I Should Have Said Nothing. How many know that sometimes you just ought to close your mouth? And so we did a series called Speak Life. And then my favorite series, actually, and I saved it for last, is a series I did called Fresh Fruit. And this series is about sowing and reaping. Word of God says, as long as the earth remains, there always be seed time and harvest. And the Word of God also says that God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. And our life is not a series of happenstance or chance encounters. Our life is made up of moments when we sowed and then we were to reap. The fact is that sometimes we sow certain seeds and forget that we sowed them, and then when they pop up, we're surprised. But when you understand the principle of sowing and reaping, that everything that you sow in this life, everything that you sow in your family, what you sow financially, what you sow into the atmosphere, always comes back to harvest. You always reap what you sow. That makes sense to you? So I just encourage you, certainly, if that's something that you'd like to have, that's all time that we'll spend on commercials. But I encourage you, if you'd like to take that home, the pricing and all that's out there. I was saddened to find out that the dollar's not doing well against your dollar. We travel to Africa. Well, we used to travel quite often, haven't been in a while, but whenever we would go, we would be so amazed at how well the dollar was doing against the South African rand. Sometimes it'd be 7-1. One year it was 11-1. $1 was 11 rand. I had a field day. I brought back home more stuff than I could carry. But we're so grateful to be with you. And I just once again want to say thank you to the great pastors and leadership here, all of you, the chairman, and just your hospitality has just been overwhelming. And I'm just so honored to be able to share with you. I'm honored because I come as a part of a long line of individuals who've come. My father-in-law has spoken here. My good friend and one of my mentors, Pastor Troy Good. In fact, both of those men serve in pastoral capacities to me, and certainly so many others. Good friend, Pastor Kerwin Manning, Pastor Paul Shepherd, all of them have been through here, and so I'm just so delighted to be able to be among those who come to partake. And I'm going to tell you a secret. They love you, but they love your environment so much more. They come certainly to share the word of God, but they come to enjoy the beaches and the sun, and it's just a wonderful place to be. I don't have a long word tonight. In fact, I know we're having communion tonight, so I just wanted to share just a simple thought, just for a few brief moments. And it really comes out of what I sensed the Lord was kind of showing me prophetically about this environment and about this convention. We were at dinner last night. Pastor Pagera took us to Chicken. The chicken's so good, they named it twice. Took us to Chicken. And we're sitting there, and she began to share that in the Cayman Islands, there are over 107 nationalities that are all here in the Cayman Islands. And the Spirit of God just thundered some things into my heart. And while she was telling me that, I was trying to keep my composure because I didn't want to tell her what the word Lord was telling me. I want her to be surprised tonight also. So I tried to keep my composure as I was sitting there. But the Spirit of God began to show me some things prophetically about this convention, this great church. Now, here's Here's what's amazing. I believe it's not by happenstance the Word of God comes tonight to the body that is a mixture of all the churches of God in this region. I believe the Spirit of God is saying some things to you, not as individual churches, but as a community of churches. It's not by accident that represented even here tonight, and I saw it this morning. There are a multitude of nationalities even here tonight that is a great mixture of different individuals, different nations. What we understand about the cause of Christ and the purpose of God in the earth is that he's not tied to one region and he's not tied to one nationality, but he has a heart for the world. He came, the Word of God says, for God so loved the world. In fact, when he talks about us going out and making disciples, he says of all nations. He's attempting to get us to broaden our perspective. Now, this is important within the context of understanding that, you know, historically the Jewish community understood their exceptionalism as being the chosen people. And so the parameters of their evangelism was within the borders of their community. Now, don't get me wrong, certainly we understand in Old Testament that they would give something, you know, God talks about the alien among them, and we understand that. But as it relates to who they were and being chosen by God, it was a very narrow perspective. What we see in Jesus is that he breaks out of that mold. What we see with the coming of Christ is that he takes a step out of this one-dimensional perspective of the plan of God being released in the earth, that the Jewish people were to be a conduit of the power of God. It was not to stop with them. But God was going to use them to bless. That's why the Word of God says to Abraham, is your seed, through your seed, all nations will be blessed. Talking about Jesus. That when Jesus comes, the seed of Abraham, God was going to take what had historically been for the Jewish people and then dispense it to every nation. Now, I want to press a little bit more because it's not simply every nation, nationality, or geography, but I believe that every group, every section, every demographic, every social economic group, every part and parcel of our community, the Spirit of God is attempting to invade those spaces. That God wants to get into the marketplace, that God wants to get into the cultural square, that God, in other words, the Holy Spirit is in you and he wants out. He's trying to get out. He's trying to find himself in every place imaginable. And so as I was listening to her speak last night, and the Spirit of God was thundering some stuff, I want to take you very quickly to the book of 2 Kings, and I'm going to show you something in 2 Kings 5 and then 2 Kings 6. Hopefully most of you know this story. I won't have time to develop it exhaustively, but if you'll indulge me, I'll jump in a few places to kind of give you some backdrop, because there's really one central point I want to make tonight. 2 Kings 5, the Word of God says, "Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper." He was a mighty man of valor, but a leper. He was a mighty man of valor, but a leper. Let's just stop there just for a moment. So let's just kind of give you some context. You know, some of you know this story, this great story of the leper Naaman, who was a decorated soldier. In fact, I'd imagine with whatever war credentials and war accolades could have been received, I assume that Naaman had those. That in his life, things were in order. I believe that because Naaman was a mighty commander, he was probably a disciplined man. He was probably a man that had his house in order. He's probably a man that had his affairs in order. Probably a man that had a certain amount of wealth, had a certain amount of prestige and honor. And so as it relates to the issues of his life, things were probably going well. As related to finances and his home, I assume that things were going well, but he had this issue, which was he was a leper. And so he had an issue, but the issue was not the typical issue that we sometimes see in the church context. I taught one time a couple of months ago in our church that God is not just trying to save the down and out, he also wants to save the up and in. Is there a witness in the building? Sometimes our evangelism and sometimes our teaching and preaching is only directed toward people who are poor and broke down and, you know, no job and no this and no that. And all of our evangelistic dollars and energy goes to places that are impoverished. And I'm not saying that we should stop any of that. What I am saying is we have to be very careful not to neglect a segment of our society that though they may have wealth, they may have prestige, they may have all sorts of acts, they still need Jesus. Let's just be honest. Rich people sometimes need Jesus a little bit more than poor people do. You follow what I'm saying? So we see Naaman with his affairs in order, but he still has this issue. And so his handmaiden, the one that served his wife, says, I wish that he would go see the prophet in Israel. Because I believe, now watch this, I believe that he can cure him. Naaman's got everything he could ever need. Naaman is a man of wealth, of prestige. He's an honorable man. He's a noble man, but he's got an issue. And the handmaiden of his wife says, I wish he'd go see the prophet in Israel because I believe that he can cure him. Here's the million-dollar question. When people that come into your context, into your meetings, into your fellowship, into your churches, when they leave from your fellowship and go to work, what do they say about you? This woman had been among the people of God, had been among Elijah. She had seen the work of his hand. She had seen the miracles he had wrought. She had seen it all for herself. So when she left the company of the folk that she was with, the people that she knew, the family of faith, the fellowship of faith, when she left that and was in a foreign place on her job, doing her job, when she began to speak about that place, she had some positive things to say. What's the press on us? When people speak about our church, when people name the Church of God, Anderson, Indiana, or the Church of God in West Middlesex, Pennsylvania, when they name the National Association or the Latino Consiglio, when they name the different, when they name your church and First Church, when they name these churches, what do our people go out and say about us? Can I tell you that the Spirit of God wants to make you famous? And we have shunned that because we feel like that somehow is self-serving, somehow it goes outside of the context of being humble and being meek and being light. But I hear what I'm saying, body of Christ, Jesus wants to make you famous. Let me tell you why. Not that you could be famous per se, but he wants to elevate your name to bring him glory. He wants there to be a press release about you. He wants publicity to go out about you. When that woman was in Naaman's house, she was screaming the praises of Elijah. You sensing what I'm saying? And the Spirit of God is saying about you, body of Christ, that in this season there are people who are wounded, who are hurting, who are broken, who need the touch of God, who need to be delivered, healed, set free, and we have to have a body that goes out and speaks about us. Now let me say this. I don't believe, and I think it's important, when God makes us famous, when God begins to exalt us, he's not going to exalt us because of our piety. He's not going to exalt us because of our theology. Hear what I'm saying. Hear me out. We look at scripture. Hear me out. You do not see. Look at the book of Acts. You look at Jesus. Look at the book of Acts. You look at all of the testament of the apostles. They were not talked about in the common places because they were such traditional, astute men. It was not because of their intellect. In fact, when we look at Peter and John, specifically, they say of them, these men are not learned men. We can tell by how they speak. They're not learned men. But who they say? But they've been with Jesus. When Jesus makes you famous, when he elevates and exalts you, he does it because of the power that exists in your fellowship. And the Spirit of God is saying, hear what I'm saying, body of Christ, that he wants to endow you with so much power that when people leave your fellowship, when people leave your meeting, when people leave Sunday morning, when people leave Wednesday night, they go back to their places of abode, they go back to work, they go back to their communities, and they say, there's something down there at that church that will meet you at the point of your need. You sensing what I'm saying? So the Spirit of God is trying to show us in this text that Naaman was in trouble, but the little girl knew where the answer was. Now, I want you to watch this. Spirit of God says that after Naaman comes, he comes And we know the story, and I don't want to focus on the story right now because I think there's a bigger point that I need to make. When Naaman comes, he comes before Elijah, comes to his door, and the word of God says that Naaman tells him to go wash, and if he washes 7 times, he'll be made whole. Naaman, of course, is furious because he's who he is. He says, you know, well, aren't there better places to wash in Damascus than in Israel? And he's frustrated, but his men talk some sense into him. And finally, he goes and does what the prophet says. Now, watch this. He does what the prophet says. The word of God says he becomes clean. After he becomes clean, he comes back to Elisha to thank him and now wants to give him or pay him tribute for what's been done for him. Now watch, let's pick it up right there. Go to verse 17. Actually, go to verse 14. So he went down, he dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean, and he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him. And he said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant. But he said, as the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive nothing. And he urged him to take it, but Elijah refused. 17. Here's where the magic happens. So Naaman said, then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth. For your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. Yet in this thing, may the Lord pardon your servant. When my master goes in, who's the king of Aram, when my master goes into the temple of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, when I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing. Then he said to him, go in peace. So he departed from him a short distance. Now go very quickly to chapter 6, verse 8. Now the king of Syria, the same king who raided before, the same king who Naaman served, was making war against Israel. And he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be made in such and such a place. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, just one said, none, my lord, O king, but Elijah, the prophet who was in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak even in your bedroom. So he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. I'm going to end on this. When Naaman is healed, and I want you to follow me, when Naaman is healed, he tries to pay tribute financially to Elijah. Elijah refused, but Naaman does something very peculiar. Naaman says, well, if you won't accept my gift, I want you to give me one. And he asked for dirt from the place that he was healed. Hear what I'm saying? If you won't accept my gift, then give me one. I want dirt from Israel, the place where I received my healing. He says this, because when I go back to where I'm from, when I go back to my nation, when I go back to my community, when I go back to my environment, I'm no longer going to serve the God that is served there. I'm now going to serve your God. I'm no longer going to worship the God that I used to worship. I'm now going to worship your God. Watch this. So I'm going to take the dirt from here back to where I am. Now hear what I'm saying, body of Christ. What I believe is happening right here is that Naaman understands the context or the idea of building an embassy. He's taking the dirt from a foreign territory where God is served, and he's bringing it back to his territory, watch this, that the territory he puts it at in his abode, no matter what the environment is, the dirt that he puts there now serves, watch this, as a portal of the glory where he got healed in the first place. Now, I'm going to press it. You may have heard this before, but I want you to study it. Just check it out for yourself. I believe, hear what I'm saying, that when Elisha knew everywhere that the Syrian army was going to come, it was not because God parted the skies and spoke from heaven. I believe that because Naaman had been converted, Naaman was in the bedchamber of the king and knew wherever the king was going to attack. And so Naaman, who now had an embassy, was sending back information, my God, from where he was back to the place where he got healed. And so the inside man was Naaman, who was telling Elisha what was going to happen. And Elisha saved the nation because he had someone on the inside who decided not to serve foreign gods, but to serve Elisha's God. And because he served Elisha's God, he had a disposition and a devotion to protect Elisha's God and Elisha's God's people. And what I'm saying to you, body of Christ, is this: there are people that God is going to save in this fellowship. God is going to bring and draw of those 107 nations. God is saying this will be an embassy. This will be a place where God changes hearts and changes minds and changes people, that after they leave this place, they're not going to leave the same way, but they're going to take some dirt, my God, from this place back to their place. And every place that they carry the dirt of this place, they carry the anointing of this, they carry the power of this place, it'll be set up as an embassy that God can operate. Now when they come and they bend their knee at this place, they'll take some of this place back to their jobs, and now on their jobs it becomes an epicenter for the power of God. In their community, it becomes an epicenter of the power of God. When I go back to their hometown, it becomes an epicenter of the power of God. Why? Because now, as God is saving people and God is drawing people, after he draws people, he scatters people. And after he's drawn them and you've discipled them and you've poured into them and you've raised them and you've taught them and the power of God has been released through your ministry, you watch what I tell you. Those same folk will leave this place and they'll carry the anointing that's on this place. They'll carry the power that's on this place. And every place they find themselves, they'll be releasing the anointing of God. Is there anybody here that wants to display the power of God, that when people come in contact with your fellowship, they won't leave the same, they leave carrying dirt from the place where they were delivered? Spirit of God is showing us that the Cayman Islands and the church that's here, God is going to use you as a conduit, because he's trying to spread his glory throughout the earth. When you look at how the word of God spread so rapidly in the first century, it was because they were wise enough to take the gospel along the trade lines. See, we sometimes think it's, and forgive the statement, we sometimes think it's just cosmic, it's just so spiritual. Let me tell you, there is some wisdom displayed in how they approach evangelism. They didn't just stand in a random place and declare the gospel. They went and found trade routes. They found places where people would be exchanging, people would be going back and forth, people would be coming and go. They hung out around docks and around places where boats or transportation took place, where the market played. Why? Because they were trying to get the gospel into a place that could be carried. Is there anybody who understands what I'm saying right now? That God is trying to get us to change our focus, that he wants us to know who we are, wants to know where the trade route is, where the people are. And I believe that the Cayman Island, being such a wonderful destination, such a wonderful tourist attraction, such a wonderful place to come and visit. Folk got condos here and vacation homes here. People who are constantly coming back and forth, constantly coming throughout the year to spend. God, that's not an accident. You got to see beyond the natural. It's not an accident that you see as many tourists as you see. It's not an accident that as many people come to this territory as they do. God is saying he's going to use this beautiful water. He's going to use these beautiful beasts. He's going to use the stuff that draws the people, that you, my God, can have a moment to impart the power of God to them, that when they leave your, is there anybody here that wants the type of power that when people come in contact with you, they can't leave the same? I need at least about five people to testify that you want to exude the type of authority, a type of glory, that when people sense the power of God, they take something away when they go. We teach for change. Teach for display. Spirit of God has placed you here. Hear what I'm saying? Pastors and leaders and singers, God has organized you in this place. You couldn't just do ministry anywhere. You were called here. He sent you here. He's ordained this moment, and you have to start seeing yourself as watchmen, as gatekeepers on the wall, that God has positioned you in an extraordinary way, because there are people, my God, who come in and out, who come. Do you understand that the gate called Beautiful, that man had been sitting there because the folk did not perceive that was a vehicle for the gospel to be displayed in a demonstrative way, but Peter and John saw something different. Peter and John knew who they were. Peter and John sensed the authority of God in their life. So when they came in contact with him, they had an expectation that man would not be the same when he left their presence. So they said, silver and gold have we none, but that which we have, based on who we are, based on the authority that's inside of us, we give that same power unto you. Now here's the brilliance of that story. It's not just that that man got saved, my God, that man was healed, but that man got up, and all of the issues that man had, folk knew his problems. So when he came in and he was leaping and dancing and singing and holding on to Peter and John had an opportunity to preach the gospel. And they said to him, why are you looking at us as if we've done something great? This was the man God has, Jesus has healed this man. But it goes a little bit further, and I'm almost done. I've got 5 minutes and 3 seconds. The word of God says that after he began to preach, see, people got mad and the council began to take them in, want to throw them in jail, and that was fine. My God, threw him in jail, but he had an opportunity to preach the gospel now to the council, but that wasn't it. My goodness, I love this story. Not only did they preach in the temple, not only did they preach to the council, but they preached to the council to try to put him in jail and keep them in bondage, but the word got out to the city. And now not that the church didn't just know, the council didn't just know, but the whole city knew what was going on. And the council became afraid that if they tried to keep them, there'd be a riot in the city. And they were released. But as they were released, the glory of the gospel now was spread all over that region and territory. Do you understand who you are? Do you understand that when you begin to interface, my God, with the people, it's enough for us coming together just to be together. I love y'all. I hope you love me. I hope you love each other, but it's enough of us spending time. I say this all the time in Los Angeles. We spend too much time slapping five and praising God with people who are already rich, people who are already saved, who are already delivered. It's enough of us gathering and huddling and hanging out with folks that already know God. God has positioned you strategically, my Lord. I feel this strategically to be a witness in the earth, not just to the Cayman Islands, but God is going to use those in the Cayman Islands to bear witness to his glory in the earth, because people will be saved and delivered and set free here, but they're going back to Africa, they're going back to India, they're going back to Asia, they're going back to the States, they're going back to Moscow, they're going back to Turkey, and when they go back, the glory of God will be spread throughout all territories and all generations. Is there anybody here that wants to spread the good news of an amazing God? God is saying, now is the hour. This is the time. Break out of the holes. Break out of the barriers and begin to walk in your authority. Begin to look for Naaman. Naaman may look good. Naaman may have money. He may be a sound mind. He may be a man that's upstanding, but he still needs deliverance. There are people who are around you that need to experience. I said I wasn't going to preach like this tonight, but there's people around you that need the touch of God in their lives. And can I just testify, child, you have no idea how people are hurting, who are racked with pain, who are in chaos and utter confusion, and they need a touch of God. And when you reach out and extend yourself to be a blessing, my God, it's not that you're blessing them, but you're blessing everyone they come in contact with. God has a supernatural anointing that transfers from person to person, and God always operates exponentially. God blesses one, that one can bless three, and those three will bless 12, and those 12 will bless 70, and those 70 will bless the multitude. Is there anybody here that sees the multitude? Do you see the number that no man can number? Do you see the souls that are waiting for people to walk in faith, to stand in the assurance of the power of God? Enough is enough. We spent too much time talking and having church and having function, having what, you know, spiritual parties. God is saying, now is the time to break from the chains, to break out of the buildings, to remove the walls, to begin to walk in authority in the marketplace. Naaman wasn't an Israelite. He wasn't a part of the fellowship of the family. He was an outsider. But the outsider became an insider. My God, that God could use to break them from the bondage in this earth. And can I tell you, I'm done. I got a minute and 23 seconds. I'm going to tell you this, child of God. God is saying to you that he's positioned you in such a way. It's not just the pastors. It's not just the leaders. It's not just those that have collars and titles and credentials. But God is saying the kingdom of God is inside of each and every one of you. God is activating and deputizing each and every one of you tonight to walk in a new authority, to walk in a new power, to walk in a new urgency. We've got to get mad and indignant about the devil and his tricks and his traps and decide to stand firm in the word of God to go after everything the enemy has stolen. Your kids have been in bondage. Your family's in bondage. Your job's in bondage. But God has given you power and more power. It's time for the church to stand up and walk in the authority that God has placed inside of you. Bless the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glorify by myself. Hallelujah. Thank you for your authority. Thank you for your power. Thank you, Lord God. We give you glory in this place. Bless the name of Jesus. It's time for bodies to be healed. There are too many sick people among us. My God, too many broken marriages among us. We have too much authority to stand idly by and watch the devil wreak havoc. You've got the keys to the kingdom. My God, he's giving you the word of God says upon this rock, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We have to stand up and storm the gates of hell. It's time out for the devil having his way and tricking us and trapping us. God is saying, I've given you too much authority. I've given you too much power. I've given you too much. I saved you from too much for you to sit back and let the world go to hell. It's time for the church of God to be the church of God. Bless the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You've been crying too long about that sick loved one. You've been crying too long about that broken relationship. You've been crying too long about that unsaved child. It's time for you to square your shoulders, wipe your tears, and tell the devil to go to hell. Bless the name of Jesus. My God. There's too much crying in the kingdom. There's too much victimization in the kingdom. There's too much defeat in the kingdom. You're a child of the Most High God, my God. You're heir to the throne, my God. He purchased your salvation and gave you power, my God, to tread on serpents, to cast out demons, to heal the sick, even to raise the dead. Stand up and take authority that's been laid for you. Bless the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus. My God, I thank you in this place. My God, I thank you in this place. Bless the name of Jesus. 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 Glorify the name of Jesus. God, we glorify you. We bless you. Be exalted. Be exalted above the heavens, God. Be exalted, God. We glorify you. We bless you, Lord. We lift you. We praise you, Lord God. You're King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Lord God. We all, hallelujah, we lift our voices. Bless the name of Jesus. I've got too much power to sit by and watch it happen. I got too much authority to cry tonight. But tonight I fight in the power of Jesus Christ. His blood purchased it and I'm going to get it. Bless the name of Jesus. Stand to your feet. Glorify the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We glorify you in this place. Naaman was a vehicle. Naaman was a conduit. My God, God organized that moment because God wanted somebody on the inside. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm not sure how y'all handle this, but let me do an altar call really quickly. Some of you need to come to the altar right now. We're going to just pray. Nothing crazy is going to happen. Just come stand at the altar. I want to pray for you. Now, let me tell you, don't come yet. Who's who I want to come? The people who've been fed up. People who've had enough. People who are tired of the devil working in your family and on your job and in your community and at your church. Tired of the enemy raising his head everywhere he wants to. Wants to walk a new level of authority, a new level of power, because you understand who you are. There came a day when I finally understood who I was. A good friend says there's always around me a 3-foot ring of revival fire because I believe it's there. You can't see it, I can't even see it. But I've decided that there's fire that walks with me. When I walk in a place, I have a full expectation that everything that's not like God has to take a seat. You sensing what I'm saying? I had to realize who I was. I got power. Watch this. Power I didn't pay for. Power I didn't earn. Power I don't deserve. It's not about merit. But he purchased my salvation. Filled me with the Holy Spirit. And with him came power. That when I see Naaman, or the man at the gate called Beautiful, woman at the well, whoever I see, and we have an encounter, that which is in me has authority over everything that's in them. Amen. So every conversation, every relationship is not by happenstance. It's not merely a moment of chance encounter, but it's an opportunity for the Spirit of God to do something, because I believe that maybe that's just one person that I encounter, but they'll encounter so many others. And before they encounter, will encounter others, and it'll grow and it'll move, and the glory of God, the fame of God. I told my church, we got to spend more money on media. We have to put the gospel in every single home that we can find it. Not so that we somehow can gain accolade, but the glory of God. It bothers me when people say they want a small church. How do you want a small church when the Lord said, go make disciples of all nations? That doesn't even make sense. Amen. If we're called to make disciples of all nations, you ought to want to have all nations hearing the gospel as you preach it. Amen. It's time out for the small mentality. I'm not just talking about numbers as far as people, but it's the mental small mentality. That you're not good enough, that you're not powerful enough, that you don't have the authority. Every time something happens, you got to call the pastor. You don't got to call the pastor. Lay your hands on your own stuff. Lay your hands on your own kid. Lay your hands on your own bill. Lay your hands on your own house. The authority that's in that man of God or that woman of God is inside of you. There's no secret sauce. When he shed his blood, it fell on everybody. We all got blood on us. And the power of the Holy Spirit is no more pronounced in me than it's available to you. This is the hour. This is the hour when the church must stand up. There's wickedness in high, I gotta quit. There's wickedness in high places that only the church can pull down. My God. Government can't fix it. Programs can't fix it. Money can't fix it. But the power of the Holy Ghost. My God, do you feel that? The Holy Ghost. My God is the only thing that'll change this nation and your nation and my nation. Bless the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on. I want to pray for you. You want this? You want to walk in this? Come on. I just want to pray. We're going to pray just a fellowship prayer. It's nothing deep. But I just sense so strongly that we need to just pray and just press into this. New authority. New authority. Bless the name of Jesus. New authority. New power. My God, folk gonna come through here and go out of here with such an oil on them. Bless the name of Jesus. Come on, lift your hands. God, we thank you. We bless you. With the fruit of our lips right now, we lift our voices. We lift our voices. Lord God, it's all about you, not about us. All about you, all about you. God, we recognize you're the God of creation. Hallelujah. For Lord God, everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Lord God, it's all. You're the Ancient of Day, Lord God. You're a healer, a deliverer, a waymaker. You're the God that stepped out on nothing and made everything, God. We see you, Lord God, in your rightful place as above all things, before all things, at the end of all things. You're Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, God. Hallelujah. We recognize you as supreme ruler of the universe. All of creation bows at your will. We humble ourselves, Lord God, before you, recognizing you, Father God, as King of Kings, God of Gods, Lord of Lords, my God. And so in this moment, Lord God, collectively we pray, we beseech you, we beg of you, Lord God, that you would embolden us, that you would light a fire in us, Lord God, so pronounce, God, that first, God, it will burn out everything that's not like you. Let your fire reign in us, God, in the name of Jesus. Set us ablaze, God. Hallelujah. Everyone that comes in contact with us will catch the flame that's coming off of us. My God, the flame, Lord God, that we've taken as a symbol of our fellowship, Lord God, let that flame live in us. Let it not just be something on our brochure, God. Let that just be some symbol, Lord God, of the Holy Ghost. But there be a power and endowment, Lord God, in us of the precious Holy Spirit, my God. That the kingdom of God is not merely words, but it's power. Bless the name of Jesus. Let your people walk with authority. Help them to know who they are. Help them to know who they are. Help them to know who they are. What you've given them, what you died for. You died for it, Lord God. Let us not squander the authority that came as a purchase of our salvation. Pain that you went through that we might walk with authority, Lord God. Help us not to negate that power. But let us, Lord God, square our shoulders. Your word says that you went about, Lord God, seeking to destroy the works of the enemy. Help us, Lord God, to be on the prowl for the devil wherever he might be. Everywhere we see him, Lord God, help us, Lord God, have the courage and the faith to confront him in Jesus' name. Confront him in our families. Confront him in our bodies. Confront him in our minds. Confront him on our jobs. Confront him in our community. Confront him in government, God. Help us, Lord God, to walk confrontational, God, to the enemy of our souls. Bless the name of Jesus. We thank you for this authority. We thank you for this power. God, our heart's desire is to walk by faith to see a nation change for you, see a world change for you. Bless the name of Jesus. Now seal this word with your precious Holy Spirit. Let not one thought, Lord God, one decision, Lord God, be stolen by the enemy of their souls. But help them to leave, Lord God, on fire tonight. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Lift your voice and shout amen. Amen. Come on, give God a praise in here. Come on, give God a praise in here. Hallelujah.